In Hosea, we had begun what's called the fourth chapter. We'll dedicate our learning this morning to Chaya Sara Bat Yosef, her neshama should have an aliyah. Sara Chaya Bat Yosef, her neshama should have an aliyah. So the Navi was saying how the people are not behaving in a moral fashion. They're swearing falsely, they're murdering, they're stealing, they're committing adultery. And so Hashem says, the land will mourn, the land will be destroyed. And all its inhabitants will also be destroyed. They'll be chased out of the land. The prophet went so far as to say, even animals will be exiled from the land of Israel, because no one is rebuking the people. The Kohanim, the prophets, no one's telling them you have to repent. And so God says, even though it is the daytime, they will stumble as though it is nighttime. And God says, because the nation refuses to know me, this lack of knowledge of Hashem will cause their downfall. And I want to begin again from Pasuk Vav. I think there's a message which we didn't pause on last time. So we're in Perek Dalet, we're going back to Pasuk Vav. Nidmu ami mibeli hada'at. My nation has been cut off. The word nidma could mean to be silenced. It could mean to be silenced for lack of wisdom. It could mean to be cut off, and that's the reason why they're silent. So God says they will be cut off for lack of knowledge. Ki ata hadat masta. For you have disgraced you revel at the knowledge of me, God says. Vaymoscha mikahein li. And so God says, I too am disgraced from you being my Kohanim. So we explained it last time that this is a reference to the Kohanim. You, the Kohanim, you no longer teach the people. You refuse to know me, God says. You refuse to teach them how to be moral people. So God says, and I'll cut you off. I'll refuse to know you, so to speak. But I realized that this pasuk has an alternate meaning. It could be speaking to the Jewish people at large. And as such, the pasuk could be understood in our times, when we have over 1 million children, that you tell them the pasuk Shema Yisrael, and they don't know how to conclude that pasuk. 1 million Jewish children in Israel that don't know to finish the pasuk Shema Yisrael. This was true a decade ago. Imagine where the numbers have gone since then. And so, one can also understand the pasuk simply, Nidmu ami, my nation has been silenced, Mibeli hadat, for they don't know. Ki ata hadat ma'asta, for you've been disgusted by the knowledge of me. Ve'emoscha, so I have been disgusted with you, the Jewish people, mikahen li, from being my priests. God says, you will be mamnechet kohanim. Well, mamnechet kohanim, when we're being downtrodden by the nations, is a little bit difficult. Vatishkach torat elokecha. God says, you forgot the Torah of your God. Eshkach banecha gamani, so I too will leave, I will forget, so to speak, your children, I will not save them. So we understood this as a pasuk about the Kohanim. I think there's room to understand it also about the Jewish people at large. Now you understand that if we understand it that way, then we're risking a very big point here. And maybe that's why the commentaries did not go that route. The concept of Israel being the chosen nation, that's the concept that Hosea is coming to strengthen. He's saying, you'll be punished, but you're still mine. As we discussed in the introduction, that is the concept that God is hammering in the book of Hosea, one of the major concepts. Even after the Jewish people sin and they're exiled and they're downtrodden among the nations, they're still His chosen people. So this pasuk, if we understand it that way, God says, I'm disgusted with you being my holy people. Mm-hmm. The question is, okay, how's that limited? So that we understand from the context. It's a finite situation. God saying, there will be a period where I will chase you out of the land of Israel. There will be a period when I won't let you be the top nation in the world. Why? Kirubam kin chatuli. As I've made them greater, so too they have sinned against me, which is usually the case. When things go well, people forget God. Kivodam bikalon himi ami. So God says, if they've taken that wealth and used it to sin, so I'll take their honor and I'll exchange it for shame. Chatat ami yochelu velavonam yisu nafsho. The leaders enjoy the sacrifices, the sin offerings, the chatas of the people, and they're happy, they look forward to their sinning, so they bring more sacrifices. You remember, we did this last week. V'ayacha'am ka'kohen, and so God says, I will equate the nation with the Kohanim, the leaders should be leading them to do what's right. Instead, they enjoy their sins because they benefit from it. So God says, okay, we will equate you. If you're not acting as leaders, then when the destruction comes, everyone will be equals. Ufakati alav derachav, and I'll take them to task over their ways. Umalalav ashiv lo, and I will pay back the people for their actions. Ve'achilu v'lo yisba'u, hiznu v'lo yifrotzu. They will eat and they won't be satiated. They will be with their wives and they will not procreate. Ki et Adonai yazvu lishmo, because they've left from keeping God's ways. And this is where we were up to. This is where we left off last week.
From where can we see that it's his wife? It's his new, it's Zanai, it's harlotry.
Right. So
they shall commit harlotry.
We explained last week that in the commentaries say that being that their thoughts, even when they're with their wives, are not for the sake of the mitzvah, so the Navi refers to any time that they're with their wives as hiznu, because zoneh literally means to go astray. So if they're astray from the thoughts that God wants, so then God refers to the action as also harlotry.
Zinut v'yayin v'tirosh yikach lev.
God says, what's taken the hearts of the Kohanim, what's taken the hearts of the people, is zinut, harlotry, v'yayin v'tirosh, and fresh wine and old wine, yikach lev, that's what's captured their hearts, that's what they're focused on. They're not thinking about how do I teach people, how do I educate. They're thinking about their harlotry, their wines. Ami beitzo yishal umaklo yagidlo. My nation seeks out the future with soothsayers. They go to their piece of wood. They ask him, what's going to be in the future? They go to their stick, the idol that they've made of a stick, and they ask him, what can we expect? And the stick tells them the future.
Ki ruach zenunim hitah, vahiznu mitachat Elohim.
For their desire to serve idols, ki ruach zenunim, the spirit of idol worship, of going astray, hitah, has caused them to err from the logical path, and therefore vahiznu mitachat Elohim, they have strayed from under their gods, under their God.
Al Rashei Harim Yizabechu.
On the mountaintops, they offer sacrifices. V'al HaGevaot Yikateru. And on the hilltops, they give their incense.
Tachat Alon V'livne Veila Kitov Tzila.
Under the trees, Alon, Livne, and Veila. Those are three types of trees. They give their sacrifices, for they give good shade, kitov tzila, because each one of them has many branches, and it's a good place to offer a sacrifice on a mountaintop.
Al kein tiznena benoteichem v'chaloteichem tina'afna.
Being that the men are busy serving their idols on the mountaintops, that's why their daughters and their daughters-in-law have room to commit adultery, because the husbands are away, no one sees. God says, if you go astray from me, I'll I'll see to it. And what's going to happen is your children will go astray. Now, really, there's more to it here. You recall last night, we discussed the prohibition of wine. Why our sages instituted it. Well, if people are going to serve idols, who are they doing it with? Then it's very easy to do it with the pagan neighbor. If you're having a party, a party for Zeus or whatever other god with your neighbor, so then your daughter is going to meet his son, and that's what God says. If you serve the other gods, you should know your daughters will learn from their daughters, your daughters will marry their men, and the daughters and the daughters-in-law will not be faithful. And God says if that's going to be the case, God says, I won't even take them to test. I won't hold the girls accountable because you've taught them this way. You've taught them to live an unfaithful life. So I won't take them to task when they commit adultery. Because they're learning from their fathers. Their fathers are by the harlots all the time. So of course they're learning to be harlots. That's what they see their fathers doing. And they see their fathers. Who do they invite to their parties? They have all these women for hire with their at the parties. They go to Las Vegas. They're standing around with the half-naked women. And if this is what the girl sees her father doing, so what's to keep her from becoming one of those girls herself? And therefore, being that they're a nation that does not understand, they will stumble, they will fool. God saying the most basic morality has left the nation. Be it their forms of idol worship, be it their lack of faithfulness to their wives, God says, if you leave morality, of course your daughters will be immoral. Our sages say, based on this pasuk, that at the time of the Second Temple, the sota waters ceased to work. We have a mitzvah in the Torah. If one sees his wife going with another man, he's unsure what happened. He could warn her. She goes a second time. He brings her to the temple, and we give her special waters, which check whether she's committed adultery or not. Our sages say that when adultery became so rampant, as the Navi describes here in Hosea, God said, I'm not going to trouble myself to do that miracle to have the waters check your daughters. If it's rampant, then that's not what the idea of the sota waters was all about. If it's so rampant, God says, Al ken, therefore, I will not check your daughters. Lo ifkod al binotechem, I will not check out your daughters, ki tiznena, because I know that they're all committing adultery. Because they break off from the family. Lipared is to separate.
Yes,
they separate themselves.
But doesn't join opposite. For they themselves join this. But Lipared is not joined.
So in Hebrew we have words, we have many words that mean something and mean the antithesis. The word lisharesh could mean to give root or to uproot. There are many words like that. So I guess they're explaining that Yifaredu also could mean...
Also in English it's the same sometimes, yeah.
But there's also the understanding that the fathers are separating themselves from the family to go off with harlots. So of course that's how the daughters are going to end up.
Isn't that why the Mishnah says something about that's why the sota waters didn't work? Because
right.
Men were being also licentious?
That too. Im zone ata Yisrael al yesham Yehuda ve'al tavo ha-gilgal ve'al ta'lo beit aven ve'al tishave'u chay Adonai. If you Israel, the 10 northern tribes, if you steer off the path and you go after the idols, so then, that's not the fault of Yehuda. If Yehuda did not give an open path to the 10 northern tribes to come and sacrifice at the temple, nonetheless, that did not mean that the 10 northern tribes must go after idol worship. There was ongoing war at this time between the 10 northern tribes and the tribes of Yehuda. So the 10 northern tribes did not want to go to the temple, which was in Judean territory. God says, nonetheless, you 10 northern tribes cannot blame the Judeans for the fact that you're going after idol worship. Val tavo Gilgal, you shouldn't have gone to Gilgal where they established a center for idol worship. It's not Yehuda's fault. No one told you to go there. Val talu Beit Aven, nor should you go up to the house of sin, the place in Beit El where Yeravim set up the calf. And over there, they used to worship idols. They set up a golden calf there in Beit El. So you'll notice the Navi changes the name. He calls it Beit Aven. He doesn't call it Beit El because he doesn't want to give it that honor. It's not El anymore. It's Beit Aven. It's a house of sin. V'al tishavu. And God says, being that you don't serve me, why do you swear in my name? The concept of swearing in God's name is I value God's name. I wouldn't use God's name if not for the fact that I'm telling the truth. God says, you don't value my name. You don't serve me. V'al tishavu. Therefore, don't swear. Chai Hashem, I swear by God. If you're not serving me, you don't honor me.
Yeah, is that a good seed?
Yeah, yeah.
You
said
Yehuda because Benjamin attacked them at the river and started hitting them strongly in their force because the Beit
HaMikdash was
in Benjamin's
area. Benjamin is always considered like an adjunct to Yehuda. There are also the Kanim, the Levi'im, Shevet Shimon, but they're adjuncts. It's called Yehuda. And that was the kingship. Avon with an ayin is a sin. Aven with an aleph is... it's different. I don't know how to... it's different. It's not the same thing, aven and avon. But I can't think right now how to define it. Yeah?
In the north, maybe it was a frame or something. Didn't they build what they hoped would be an equivalent temple, not for idol worship? Maybe I'm just remembering something.
I don't know.
They have like their own center for Hashem.
I don't know. Pasuk Tetzain. They had two centers of worship, but they were with golden calves.
It was all idol worship.
Yeah, it's a red duck. It's a red duck. A red duck suggests that Gilgal's familiarity as a place of worship was due to the fact that the tabernacle has been there when Israel entered its land. So it was tabernacle.
The tabernacle was there when we entered. That was the first place after we entered Israel that we camped. So Gilgal was always a special place. The Radak elsewhere writes that Gilgal was special because it was like a coliseum. You had a huge open area where you could have like a million people gather. That's why Gilgal was a place that was a center of worship also, because geographically Gilgal was set up that you could have a huge center for the Jewish people. Okay. Pasuk Tetzain.
Well, it's something like roll out. Gilgal.
I hear. You're saying, yeah, I hear. Ki kefara sorera sarar Yisrael ata yireim Adonai kecheves bamerchav. God says the Jewish people have been like a rebellious cow.
Yeah.
When you give a cow too much to eat, it goes wild.
Yeah, I was in a village in Kfar sometimes I was living, and I know that sometimes it's very dangerous, cows.
Okay, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah, even it was killing of people.
So,
yes.
So the Navi says, the Jewish people are like the cow. I gave them too much to eat, so to speak, God says. When a cow, you give her too much to eat, she goes wild. So, ki kefara sorera, like a wild rebellious cow, sarar Yisrael, the Jewish people have become rebellious. Ata, therefore God says, how am I going to calm them down? Yir'em Hashem, I will graze them, I will shepherd them, kecheves, like a sheep, bamerchav, in wide open territory, so there the sheep grazes calmly, and God says, therefore, I will make them smaller. I will minimize them. They were like a big cow. I'll make them smaller, like a sheep. Chavu atzabim Ephraim hanachlo. Ephraim has connected chabur like chibur to atzabim, to idols, to different forms of idol worship. Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes have attached to that. Hanachlo, and therefore God says to the prophet, let go of them. You, the prophet, don't bother rebuking them. They're not going to listen. They're attached to their idols. Sal sov'am, when the wine leaves them, when their intoxication is removed, hazne hiznu ahavu hevu kalon magineha. God says the lifestyle they lead is that all day they're drunk, or else when their drunkenness leaves them, haznei iznu, they go after harlots or they go after idol worship. Ahavu heivu, the kings who are supposed to protect the nation, ahavu heivu kalon magineha. Maginea are the kings who protect them. So the subject of the end of the pasuk is Maginea. Who is the active one here? Maginea, the kings. They are ahavu hevu. They like this shame. They like this shameful way. And they're teaching the nation to go that way. And they're encouraging them to go that way. Ahavu, they like. Hevu, to give over wine, to give over Kalon, this shame, Maginea, her protectors, her kings. Her kings are Ahavu Evu. They like giving over to this way of life. Yeah? You guys understood the way the Pasuk is supposed to be read? Ahavu Evu. They love giving over Kalon to this shame, Maginea. Who loves that? Maginea, those who should be her protectors, her kings. Sarah, Ota bichnafeha veyevoshu mizivchotam. The wind, so to speak, has bound itself to the wings of the congregation to carry them off into exile, as the Navi's been prophesizing from the beginning of the chapter, that because of these ways the nation will be exiled. And then Yevoshu, they will be shamed Miziv Chotam from the altars they set up in honor of the idols, because they won't help. And that, quite the contrary, that will remain as a sign of their shame, that they offered sacrifices to the idols. So to summarize what we saw today, what we see today, God says their way of life has been to run after harlots, wine. They take counsel with their staff, with their stick of idols, and they run out under the trees on the mountaintops. That's where they serve their idols. They take their harlots up there with them, and their daughters learn these ways, and they too become harlots. God says, and don't blame Judah. It's your fault that you've gone this way. The fact that you have a war with Judean territory is no excuse for going this way of life. You've been like a cow that's been overfed. So God says, I'll limit your feed. I'll minimize you like a sheep. You, Hosea, you the prophet, stop rebuking them. There's no one to talk to. Their kings are encouraging this way of life. They like this way of life for their people. And so God says, the wind has clung to their wings. It's ready to take them off to exile. The 10 tribes are going to be exiled. And we know this is one of the first Holocausts in Jewish history, that the 10 northern tribes, you're talking about millions of people, were exiled and just lost. Intermarried, wiped out. We don't know what happened to them, but they're lost. They're goners. So Simcha wants to say they're coming back. Okay. It's a discussion. We have it online.
Is it really proper, technically, to call them Jewish when they weren't from Judea? Like, you know, they were... wasn't there a pretty sharp divide between them and the Judeans?
Okay, but... they were part of it. They were the majority of the Jewish people at the time. They were sinning, but at the end of the day, they were Jewish.
Oh, what was the, well,
wasn't just like proportion wise, how much of the population?
I don't remember the numbers. I don't remember offhand. I'm sorry.
Technically, they weren't Jewish. They were like Danish or Benish or Ashkenazi.
Right.
Okay.
Well, so people
were born.
We have people from the 10 tribes, but the majority was Luz. We know we have certain numbers. We've discussed different places in the Shas that the Shas indicates that we have people. We don't know what tribe we're each from. We also have a promise from God that no tribe will be wiped out completely. But it definitely seems like the majority of Jews around are from Yehuda, yeah? Yehuda, Binyamin, Shimon. Yeah. Yeah. Shimon was swallowed in your Judean territory. Yeah.
No, that doesn't say something that's not that people walked in the north and the south before the exile. So that's what we
mean. Right, we have. According to one opinion, the prophet Jeremiah, Yirmiyo, went out to bring back people from the 10 tribes. Yeah.
Could you call yourself actually Benish today?
Why do you say Benish?